Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Ask the CIO with your host, Jason Miller.
Our special guest today is Danny Harris, the Education Department's Chief Information Officer. Danny, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Jason.
Well, let's start with some basics. You've been the CIO at Education for about 18 months now. How has that adjustment been moving from actually the CFO's office?
It's been an interesting adjustment. One of the benefits I've had is for the last 10 years or so, I've been in financial management. But the reality is we had our own IT shop in the CIO shop, and we ran all of the department's critical financial management systems, from contracts and purchasing to our accounting system to our award-winning grants management system and travel. And moving over to the CIO, at the same time, the department reorganized and moved those systems over with me. So though it's been an adjustment from one perspective, on the other hand, I'm taking a lot of faces with me that I'm very familiar with.
It's actually fascinating that you were in the financial management area as the deputy CFO, but you really were kind of the IT deputy CFO. You don't see that very much, do you?
No, you don't see it much. And in fact, one of the things that we talked about a lot in the CFO council is how do we forge a better bond with our CIO compatriots? And one of the things that we find is in the federal space, CIO folks typically don't know much about financial management and the other way around. And so it's exciting to be on the CIO side now and be able to wear at least half a CFO hat. I think I can serve the customer much better that way.
It's interesting because you say that, because once in a while you'll see an agency that has a CFO and a CIO who are both the same people. Agriculture Department did that a number of years ago. And I'm wondering, you don't see it very often because they're two very demanding jobs. But it's interesting that you bring up that they have to come closer together because the overlap is so great now.
I think there are huge benefits, obviously, to having CIOs who understand lines of business. And there's also benefits to having folks in the line of business who understand a little bit about the information system lifecycle. But I don't think they necessarily have to be the same person. But we've got to work harder to make sure that when you call the CIO, they're not just learning that day about your line of business. They've been following you as a customer. They understand when you have to make payments. They understand when you have to put grants on the street. And I think that's one of the benefits we have at the Department of Education, where I've been there for 25 years, and I know every single program. I know all the support organizations. And so when my customers call me, I already know what their need is, so there is a benefit.
It also probably is a pretty big benefit that you know how the finance community works. So as CIO, when you say, okay, we're going to need a new system or we want to implement a new technology upgrade, you know, okay, I can't just, okay, let's get it done, I need money. You know that there's a process you have to go through from the beginning to the end, and that probably makes your job maybe even a little easier.
It does make it easier, and you'll notice when you look at many of the agencies across town, especially Department of Education, from a capital planning perspective, we're making sure that our customers know that CIO doesn't drive the business process. CIO supports the business process owner. And so when we look at our business segments, we're interested in not just the technology that drives it, but what is our customer trying to deliver to their customers?
That's interesting, because I think that I've seen a big move across government in that perspective to say, you know, yes, technology is important. We can't live without it anymore, but it's all about the mission. It's all about the need. Now, is it really happening? I'm not sure. We hope it is. But there's definitely a move in that direction. So you've been CIO. You've been CFO. Which do you like better?
I knew you were going
to
ask me that question, Jason.
But,
well, you know, it's an impossible question to answer because, again, I think that 90% of the problems that I've encountered in my IT career have not been IT problems. They've been business problems. And what I'm working hard to do is push all of my employees as well as my customers into understanding when we drive implementations, we drive them from the business perspective, and we bring the IT and the technology that we need to solve the problem to the table, but we don't do it the other way around.
It goes back to that, the trend that at least I'm seeing when I talk to CIOs like yourself, that they are really trying to get into that mission support role versus, hey, we have this newfangled IT thingamajig, let's use it. And, well, how do we use it? I don't know, but it's cool. You know, it does things. So let's talk about your role as CIO and how you support education's mission. You mentioned a little bit of it from a finance, from a grant, from a procurement, but you also probably support some of the, a lot of the back office functions, the infrastructure, and then you also support how education reaches out to the citizenry?
First of all, it's very exciting to be at education. I brag about education all the time because I feel in Washington we have probably the most organic mission. Driving home every day, it's very easy for me to understand how what I bring to the table provides value to the U.S. and its citizens. And so it's been very exciting the last 25 years doing that. One of the other exciting things for me right now is we have, without a doubt, probably the most exciting secretary that we've had in the department's history. And I hope no one gets mad at me for saying that. But it's true. You have a secretary who has made one of his top priorities managing. I think the federal government has a reputation, earned or not, for not producing the best managers. And Arne Duncan has made it very clear. Our employees and our customers on the outside deserve good managers. And so beyond information technology and financial management systems and so forth and so on, one of our biggest initiatives is making sure that all of our managers understand both the art and science of managing and that they get better. And we measure that. We measure it in terms of what our customers are saying. We measure it in terms of our employee satisfaction surveys. And so that can't do anything but help my mission to bring technology and business processes to the table.
Because I imagine when people understand, okay, I got to be what good manager means and how I can make sure I'm meeting my mission, that makes it easier for them to understand how that technology or makes it easier for you to make the case maybe. For instance, well, how you can use technology to help meet that mission. And if someone's focused on their own little world as opposed to the broader world of education, maybe that could be a little harder.
It is. One of our mottos in CIO, not just at the SES level, but the managers and employees is we deliver services. That is what we do. And so we want to listen first and talk second. And I don't think we've done that historically. We want to walk in and we want to say, oh, do cloud computing. Well, you didn't hear my question first. And so we're trying to make that transition to listening first and then thinking about what technology we can bring to bear to solve the problem.
Now, you as CIO, how are you set up? Meaning, do you spend most of your time on the strategy parts or do you spend half and half strategy and operations? Talk a little bit about your specific role.
Currently, being the new CIO, I've been there, again, 18 months. Right now, I'm more hands-on than I probably will be if you interview me a year from now. There are a number of inefficiencies that I found when I got over at the CIO shop, and I've spent pretty much the last 12 to 14 months actually rolling my sleeve up and working on those, bringing in new processes, bringing in new procedures, making sure our resources are optimized. So right now, I'm probably one of the more hands-on CIOs in Washington. I do think that will change. I do spend a significant amount of time on the seventh floor working with leadership on other initiatives. You know, for example, I head up the organizational assessment initiative for the entire department for Tony Miller, our deputy secretary, and for Arne Duncan. That's a little unusual for a CIO to head that up, and it's probably because of my experience at the department, not because of my role as CIO. But it's very exciting.
You seem to kind of give us a little heads up on some of your priorities, so I don't want to jump forward there quickly. But, would you say what kind of balance would you look for in 6 months and 8 months in terms of would you like to spend 60% of your time on strategy and 40% on operations or even a different ratio?
I would say in the next 12 months, you'll still see me spending a tremendous amount of time on operations. We are a good distance away from where we need to be as a CIO organization. But certainly my desire in the long term is to spend maybe 30% on operations and the rest would be on strategizing.
All right, and then we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to hit upon some of those priorities that you kind of hinted at. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Danny Harris, the Education Department's Chief Information Officer.
Data is exploding in growth, usage, and retention. Count on it, and count on Vion to manage your organization through that change. Vion's file service solutions allow you to manage all platforms with an integrated management approach. This enables you to consolidate, protect, search, and archive unstructured data. With powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion will help you regain control of your IT environment. To learn more about Vion's file services, visit Vion.com. That's Vion.com. When it comes to your company's disaster recovery, business continuity, and virtualization plans, ask the experts. Vion Corporation. With a 29-year track record in assured computing, Vion puts customer needs first as a hardware and systems integrator. With a team of dedicated engineers and powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion's customers know their data is protected, secure, and recoverable. Visit Vion.com to learn more about high-performance network-attached storage and content archiving. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Danny Harris, the Education Department's Chief Information Officer. Now, Danny, before break, we talked a lot about kind of how your organization is set up, how your adjustment has been coming from the CFO's role to the CIO's role. And in there, you talked a little bit about maybe some priorities. Give us some hints. So over the next 6 or 9 months or even longer, what are some of the things you really are focusing on?
It's a really interesting time in the federal space, especially in IT. Probably if you interview 10 CIOs this week, probably 8 of them would answer this question the same way. And that is, my number 1, 2, and 3 priority is IT security, IT security, IT security. It's a scary time. The landscape is changing on not a daily basis, but an hourly basis. And historically, the department hasn't had the best IT security record. And so I'm spending a tremendous amount of time looking at what our true posture is, strategizing on and prioritizing how do we tackle those issues. Will we ever get ahead of cyber criminals? Doubtful. But certainly we've got to spend a great deal of our time attempting to do that. So I would say that certainly is the biggest priority I have right now. A number of other priorities are in the area of grants management. And I think, again, you'll hear me around town bragging that I think we're the best in the business. I think we have the best federal grants management system in Washington. We've actually just upgraded our GAP system to G5, and we're very excited. We hope our customers are excited as they begin to use it. We are a consortia lead, which means we're also looking for other agencies who don't have grants management as a core competency. We're asking them to take a look at what we have to offer. And so we're spending a lot of time polishing that and making it palatable to other agencies. A couple of other things we're looking at, obviously cloud computing. And again, I say looking with caveats around it because that's really all we're doing right now. We're not ready to move, but certainly it looks attractive to us. We're looking at collaboration technologies. We have to actually bring our workforce together and allow them to collaborate using technology and processes a little better than we do right now.
Your plate's pretty full there. So I want to start with grants management, because I think that's been one of those issues that the government has focused on over the last few years, made some progress. We know from, for instance, that the Department of Health and Human Services and their grants.gov system had some bumpy roads over the last year, especially with the Recovery Act. What are you guys doing? You said you upgraded to the new GAP system G5. What's that mean?
Thank you so much for asking that question. Well, GAPS was already an award-winning application. But I'll say beyond all the cute things that it does, beyond the workflow technology, beyond the user-friendly interface, beyond the self-help tools that are in the application, I think the most powerful feature, you'd expect me to say this as a former deputy CFO, the most powerful feature is all of our financial applications are integrated to our financial system, our core financial system, in real time. And that's very powerful. When you look at our management of our ARRA funds, you can ask any second of any day where the funds are, where they've been, where they're going. And we can look across our G5 system, we can look in our accounting system, and they're completely synchronized. I'm very proud to say that we've been complimented by OMB, as well as some staffers on the field, as being on the Hill, as being one of the better agencies in tracking our funds and distributing our funds. And so we're proud of that.
Oh, that was actually my next question about when she brought the grant system. I knew that the Education Department received a lot of money from the Recovery Act. How has that worked? And you said your GAP system can actually track almost in real time. Talk a little bit about how that process worked. Did you need to do any upgrades, need to do any changes in preparation for the Recovery Act? And then if so, talk a little bit about what those were.
The only major changes we had to do is take a look at the business intelligence that we wanted to wrap around the data that we collected. The fact that our grant system and our accounting system are tightly integrated served us well. And so, for example, when we get reporting back from recipients, it's very easy to look in our accounting system, map it to our grant system, and then be able to tell very quickly whether there are anomalies. And we can help our program offices reach out to their constituents to either correct, help them correct the data, or to validate that that data is correct.
Now, you also mentioned in the same time your consortium member grants the line of business. That's been, forgive me if I say, dormant. We haven't heard much about it. Where are we with that, the big grants line of business? Are you guys still looking, actively looking for people to come and use your services?
I think as a political initiative, it is dormant. You know, OMB isn't constantly knocking on our door saying, why don't you have partners? Why haven't you brought partners on board? But I have to tell you, one of the reasons why I accepted the CIO role was because the concept of building a business in the federal space is very exciting. You don't necessarily generate revenue, but you can demonstrate where you bring value to the government by putting services on the table at a lower cost for the citizens. So we're still very actively engaged in growing our business. We have a number of MOUs with various agencies, and we're actually doing studies to show how well we map to the way they want to do business. So you should look for the department in the next 6 to 12 months to actually seriously bring on a partner, or at least start working on bringing a partner on, as opposed to just having MOUs.
The difference between an MOU and a partner would be what?
An MOU basically says that you and I have an understanding that we're going to do work together, but I want to actually get into the information systems life cycle. We've started requirements. We've started building. We have a go-live date. That's when I'll really get excited.
The other thing I want to talk about, you brought up the idea of cloud computing and the fact that we're just looking at it. It's very attractive. Can you give us any insight in terms of, are you looking at for back office functions? Like, I've heard a lot about email storage.
Folks ask me all the time, what lines of business are we looking at in terms of cloud computing? And I answer, yes. We're actually looking at everything that we do. The cost benefit for cost computing is, it's a given. You know, I don't think you're going to find many people in Washington who argue that their return on investment couldn't be a quick one. The thing that holds me back and that I'm trying to become more intelligent about is the security aspect. And every time I ask the question, I get the blank stares from folks who are actually pushing cloud computing. And so I will in the near future be working with GSA and others to get a better answer on how do I handle the security issue from my door to the cloud. And once I get a good answer to that, you'll probably see us jumping quickly into actually taking some of our services to the cloud.
It's interesting you bring up the security issue, because one of the things you hear a lot in the community around cloud computing is, well, no one's going to go to the public cloud. They're all going to go to the private cloud. They want a private. This is my cloud. I want to touch and squeeze my cloud, if you will. The things they'll use the public cloud for is maybe your public affairs offices, internet access. You know, we're going to push all the information out through the PAO, and that's what, you know, that's the low risk. But anything that's any medium risk or high risk, they're really going to focus on a private cloud. And then you hear some other people say, well, you know, until there's some standards from NIST, until, you know, GSA does the certification accreditation, I'm still not quite there yet. So I think that that's a big question a lot of people have. Have you started to have those conversations yet with some of the other agencies, whether GSA or, for instance, the National Business Center at Interior has a cloud offering, or is it still premature?
It's still premature. We're beginning to have those discussions, and more than anything else, we're learning from others. I wouldn't necessarily say that cloud computing is on the bleeding edge, but it's certainly on the leading edge, and this is one where education would like to sit on the sideline for a few minutes and watch. You know, when you look at grants management, we will stay on the bleeding edge because that's our core competency, but we want to learn from others who can demonstrate to us that this can be done, and then we'll follow suit. That's kind of our plan right now.
I think you and several other agencies around the government. Real quick, I want to, before we have to take another break, collaborative technology you talked about. SharePoint's a big trend I'm seeing across government. Are you looking at that type of collaboration, or are you maybe even looking at wikis, blogs, the internal stuff?
Actually, internally, we are looking at SharePoint. In fact, one of our initiatives that really did well was our SharePoint site for Aura. We developed an Aura site inside, and our customers absolutely love it. It has change the way they look at collaborating.
Okay, we're going to have to take another break. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Danny Harris, the Education Department's Chief Information Officer.
Data is exploding in growth, usage, and retention. Count on it. And count on Vion to manage your organization through that change. Vion's file service solutions allow you to manage all platforms with an integrated management approach. This enables you to consolidate, protect, search, and archive unstructured data. With powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion will help you regain control of your IT environment. To learn more about Vion's file services, visit Vion.com. That's Vion.com. When it comes to your company's disaster recovery, business continuity, and virtualization plans, ask the experts. Vion Corporation. With a 29-year track record in assured computing, Vion puts customer needs first as a hardware and systems integrator. With a team of dedicated engineers and powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion's customers know their data is protected, secure, and recoverable. Visit Vion.com to learn more about high-performance network-attached storage and content archiving. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Danny Harris, the Education Department's Chief Information Officer. Now, Danny, before break, we talked a lot about your priorities. We talked about collaborative software. We talked about grants management. Your top priority, though, will be forever, probably, cybersecurity. Now, you guys have done, as you said, not as great as you'd hoped for on cybersecurity. A recent IG report, for instance, found that, you know, you're having some challenges in those areas, as well as some other areas about managing one of your big IT contracts. Let's start with cyber. What are you doing to address some of those challenges?
I'm showing my age because I keep talking about education and how it looked in the past. And again, this is the first secretary that has brought the IT folks to the seventh floor to say, let's talk IT security and how do we get it right, to show you how important it is to the agency. The secretary actually significantly increased the number of FTE and the spending that we will have this year for IT security. You know, one of the benefits that we have as an agency is that we have a very, very effective and productive relationship with our Office of Inspector General. They do very good reviews, and more than anything else, their recommendations are very logical. And so when they put a report on my table, it's not one that I look at with angst. I look at and I take out of the reports what we can do to make education better, such as the case with the recent findings on IT security. It will allow us to prioritize with our resources, both human and funding, to make education a more secure place.
So two things I got to ask you about, and I realize maybe some sensitivities. More funding, more people. Can you give us any kind of percentage of more funding, if you don't want to feel comfortable giving us a number, or how many more people are we looking at?
Well, the number of people is 6 or 7. And, you know, my friends in the private sector would say, what are you going to do with 7 people? But my friends in the federal space will say, what? The secretary gave you 6 or 7 more people. That's a huge number. And the approach we're going to take is we've been doing a lot of work in the last 12 to 14 months on IT security. We've been pulling back the covers. We've been looking under tables that we didn't look under before. But we only have so many resources and we have only so much intellect when it comes to IT security. And so what I'm going to do is let a contract to actually have experts come in and help us pull back the covers a bit more, scan a few more applications, scan a few more parts of our subnet, and put together a comprehensive view of what our security posture is going to be. Now, out of that, we're going to prioritize. Certainly, we can't tackle everything the first day, but we're going to prioritize. What do we tackle first? What are the items that will burn us today if we don't solve them today? And I think it'll be the first time that the department has done a comprehensive review. Certainly we do our FISMA reviews. Certainly we do the financial system audit every year. But I'm talking about as comprehensive as you can get. And then we're going to take the findings from that and decide on a strategy.
6 or 7 people is a lot, especially in government. And finding to hire those 6 or 7 people is extremely challenging. You didn't talk about budget, so I'm going to go back to it and give you the opportunity to tell us what kind of increase, if not specific dollar amount.
I probably not want to talk about budget.
All right. Well, got to ask the question.
Yes,
you know
sure,
how it is.
Got to
do your reporter's job. And then the other thing you brought up was about the potential contract for cyber services. Is that already done? Do you have something in place? Is that something that's coming up in the near future? Can you give us any kind of insight?
Yeah, it's not done, and it's coming up in the future. I'm looking to do something within the next several months.
All right, well, now you'll have vendors call you about it. You know that.
They do anyway.
Okay, well, good. Let's talk about the Dell Pro contract. I've heard from the rumor mill out there, and maybe I'll give you an opportunity here to kind of squash it, that this contract was not going very well, that there was a lot of complaints from the Pro standpoint. There was an IG report that I referred to earlier. Can you just give us an update in terms of how that contract is going? Is there a recompete on the horizon at all, or is that still a few years out?
Well, I would have been shocked if you hadn't asked the question, and I'd love to answer it. No doubt the department had a number of challenges and continues to have some challenges with the huge paradigm shift. Let me talk about the paradigm shift for a second. Moving from a paradigm where you own the assets and you manage the assets, and moving from that paradigm to where you don't own any assets and you're contracting for services and you have to manage those services, that's a huge, huge, huge shift. And I'd be the first to tell you that the Department of Education, and specifically the OCIO, was not prepared for that paradigm shift. I spent the last year and a half retooling, you know, not just our resources, but our frame of mind. We now have to make sure that the work gets done as opposed to physically doing the work. That's a big shift. I'm looking at, do we have the right resources in the right place? I'm pleased to say that over the last 12 months, we have done a significant turnaround. Our customers are more pleased than they've ever been. In my opinion, they were the ones who really caught the brunt of this paradigm shift. But we have put corrective actions in place, and I feel that the contract is more stable than it's ever been.
You mentioned your customers are more pleased. Obviously, the educational, the bureaus. Do you guys do any kind of evaluation satisfaction survey?
Yes.
And do you remember if there's any specific, are we up to 78% satisfied and 90%? Does anything stand out to you?
Jason, let's just say bad.
Well, initially it was bad.
Initially bad.
But now you said things have gotten better.
Things have gotten better.
So,
and here's the thing. I've got to be fair to the CIO employees as well as Del Perro. In a two-year period, we switched out every machine and we gave them a new operating system. I mean, I could stop there. I mean, that's about as dramatic as it gets. And so regardless of how smooth the transition could have been, employees are going to be angry. People don't like change. And so you could attribute some of the bad press to the fact that we changed a lot of things. Certainly one of the problems we had was we attempted to do too many things simultaneously. Forget about the employees for a second. Look at the fact that we took two data centers that we owned and we transitioned them to Perot and we moved them across the country. At the same time, we were putting PCs on the desk with a new operating system. The fact that we got through it at all is incredible. It should be one of those Lifetime movies, actually.
All right. Well, we're almost out of time, unfortunately, so we're going to let you get your getaway question. Your background a little bit. How long have you been at the Department of Education? I think you mentioned 20-plus years. Have you worked at any other agencies? Have you worked in industry? Give us a little bit of background.
I was in academia for a while. I taught for 7 years at George Mason University. I've taught at Howard University, still there, for the last 20 years. I've taught everything from IT courses to business management, mass communications, you name it. As I indicated, I've been at the department for 25 years and actually started as a GS5 management analyst programmer. And the benefit I have is I have worked at almost every program office at the department. I was an IT policy analyst for 3 years for a couple of different secretaries. And I like to think that I know the department inside and out. And it allows me to pick up the phone and call a customer and speak their language. So that's what's really exciting about the position I'm in now.
Unfortunately, though, we are out of time. Obviously, we could probably go on a little bit longer about a number of different issues. But, you know, we got to do it another time. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today was Danny Harris, the Education Department's Chief Information Officer. Danny, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Jason.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.